In our ever-expanding series of the zoology of the human animal, we come to one of the most controversial and a very sore spots for some. And that is the rapid elevation of one particular group of the specimen. Not at the expense of others, mind you, but via a combination of evolution, economics, and cultural practices. In the vast and ever-shifting landscape of human attraction, we begin our observation with the most curious specimen, a viral image that dissects the faces of East Asian women into distinct ethnic variations. From this starting point, we venture into deeper waters to examine a remarkable cultural phenomenon. East Asian women, particularly those of the refined fancy variety, are quietly rising to prominence in the realm of desire across the United States. They appear to be challenging long-established Western beauty icons in anonymous polls. They do so by employing the elegant tools of niotomy, meticulous skincare, and unapologetic femininity. Meanwhile, many modern Western women have embraced different paths, including body positivity, assertiveness, and an ethos of sexy at any size. With compelling data from the digital dating savannah, we shall explore this global shift in male preferences. And so, our journey begins.
I have a new shop, new designs, have a look. Link is in the description. It helps the channel, I'm sure you'll find something you'll like. Thanks in advance, and let's get going.
Let us pause and examine this extraordinary image that has circulated through the digital ecosystem for many years. It presents three panels, Korean, Chinese, and Japanese faces, rendered with the clinical precision of an old-fashioned naturalist sketchbook. Observe the long, square Korean face framed by straight hair and eyes described as operating to enlarge. Note the rounder, flatter Chinese face with its fuller eyes and broader nose, and here the narrower Japanese face with its delicately drawn eyebrows and thin lips. At the base, a rather stark familial warning about the mixing of bloodlines. Is this image racist? The question lingers in the air like the cry of a distant bird. After long residence in East Asia, one does indeed begin to discern patterns, just as a seasoned observer might distinguish between a Greek, a Dane, and an Irishman in Europe. There is overlap, of course, vast and overlapping, yet distinctions emerge. Yet such candid observations often provoke strong reactions, particularly among Western women, for whom offence has become something of a professional reflex. As this is a delicate subject for the zoology series, one fraught with all the danger and the beauty of the savannah, there will be, of course, the accusations of bias directed toward the narrator and producer. While, of course, one will not be as silly to preclude the astronomical ascent of the East Asian female, to be absolutely clear. And what must be delivered plainly? The producer of this episode and series has always been partial to women of the Western and Eastern European variety, despite all their faults, despite all of their tribulations. They are the familiar and the known quantity, at least to him. And to all the naysayers, I would give you this spot of advice. You can always, always find a diamond in the rough. While many lamented what has been lost, one must also know what can still be found. But again, one must understand that preferences are not moral failings, as some would have you believe, but preferences are written into our very biology, by the creator of all things, and are something deeply personal. So whatever you like, good for you. But this video is not about you. It is about the zoology of our human species. But even the strongest preferences need the right biological support. That's where nitric oxide comes in, and I will pass it off to Felix to elucidate on its importance.
So I'm going to step in for David for just a moment to talk about the 1998 Nobel Prize in Medicine that was awarded to three scientists for discovering that nitric oxide acts as the master regulator of blood flow, energy, stamina, and sexual function. Yet those levels plummet with age, contributing to heart disease, the number one killer of men and women in America, exceeding all cancers combined. Leading biochemist Dr. Nathan Bryan explains.
How one crucial molecule can impact our health, brain function, and longevity.
That molecule is nitric oxide.
Nitric oxide is a signaling molecule in the human body, which regulates things like blood flow and oxygen delivery. And the loss of nitric oxide production is the earliest event in the onset progression of age-related chronic disease. So things like erectile dysfunction, diabetes, Alzheimer's, high blood pressure, which is the number one driver of cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer of men and women worldwide. And 50% of the patients that are treated with prescription medication don't respond with better blood pressure because they aren't targeted toward nitric oxide. But most people have never heard of this. They don't know that if you can't walk up a flight of steps or exercise moderately for 15, 20 minutes, then you're nitric oxide deficient. They don't know that most toothpaste and mouthwash is killing the oral microbiome that's partly responsible for production of nitric oxide, but no one is interested in curing human disease because medicine is a business. And the epiphany for me came because my dad got a car accident and he developed these non-healing wounds. And I saw the failure of the standard of care to treat dad's wounds. And so I just thought that there had to be a better way. And simply by giving nitric oxide, I've healed this wound within 6 months.
That's crazy.
Your feelings of being slower, foggy, tired aren't from getting old, but from nitric oxide collapse, which high flavanol coqua can effectively reverse, as a clinical trial showed a nearly 80% improvement in blood flow in just 7 days. In fact, the massive Harvard trial confirmed a 27% drop in cardiovascular death from daily coqua flavanol use.
Started working out, but 30, 45 minutes after I took the high flavanol coqua, already the vasodilation, the veins are popping up, and yes, you guys, it works down there on the main one. Even down, you can see it in my legs, you guys. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's almost nothing more healing than more healthy blood flow and blood pump throughout your body. I just finished my workout, and it's not just about the aesthetics and looking cool with the veins. This Harvard doctor, Dr. Lee, put out a study that high flavanol organic coqua could literally double your own stem cell production to be pulled out of your own bone marrow and put in all the proper places, like your heart, your kidney, your liver. Like, that's wild.
Black Forest's one scoop delivers a massive 1,200 milligrams of coqua flavanols, 10 times more than the other brands and exceeding the daily dose used in clinical studies, acting as a natural nitric oxide pump, improving blood flow everywhere, and is backed by thousands of reviews. Find them on Black Forest's site for yourself. And right now, they just went live with their massive Memorial Day, biggest deal of the year, 50% off store-wide promo. And it's only for the next 48 hours. So check it out. You'll be glad you did.
Preferences are written into our biology, not moral failings. Now, let us establish our terminology, borrowed from the comedian Ali Wong. We speak of fancy Asians and jungle Asians.
My husband and I have a huge unspoken understanding between each other because he's half Filipino and half Japanese, and I'm half Chinese and half Vietnamese. So we're both half fancy Asian. And half jungle Asian. Yeah. You guys know the difference. The fancy Asians are the Chinese, the Japanese. They get to do fancy things like host Olympics. Jungle Asians host diseases. It's different.
The fancy Asians hail from Japan, Korea, China, and Singapore, regions of gleaming high-tech cities, Olympic prowess, and ritualistic skincare regimens where parasols are deployed at the slightest hint of sun. Jungle Asians come from Southeast Asia, Filipinos, Vietnamese, and others, thriving in more vibrant, chaotic environments of extraordinary street food cultures and remarkable resilience. Both groups produce women of striking beauty. Yet it is the fancy category that currently commands the greatest global attention in the global north in the realm of visual desire. Consider this remarkable case study from last year. A Japanese office worker named Saori Araki posts a simple morning photograph. Grey suit, neat bob haircut, laptop in hand, the very picture of everyday Tokyo salarywoman elegance. The image garners millions of views. Then arrives the comparison, side by side with the celebrated American actress Sydney Sweeney in her American Eagle advertisement. The question then posed was simply this: which way, Western man? In this blind poll, 77% chose the unassuming Japanese office lady over Hollywood's luscious and vivacious It girl. Saori is not a polished K-pop idol. She's not a heavily filtered influencer. She's an ordinary working woman in professional attire. But Western men preferred her to Sweeney by a massive margin. The reaction from many Western women was, shall we say, swift and intense. Of course, there were the accusations of fetishization that flew like startled birds. Yet, when one's public brand rests upon being the curvy blonde bombshell and a petite East Asian woman in modest business attire prevails in open contest, one must pause to consider the implications. And let us be clear, the empirical evidence from the digital mating grounds is compelling, and it is clear. The well-known OkCupid study revealed that men of many backgrounds, white, black, and Hispanic, showed elevated preference for fancy Asians. Across Tinder, Bumble, and similar platforms, fancy Asians consistently achieve the highest response rates from thirsty admirers. Jose. And here is where we enter the realm of evolutionary biology. There is a significant factor in this phenomenon, and it is known as neoteny, the retention of juvenile features into adulthood. Large eyes, small noses, soft jawlines, petite frames, and exceptionally clear skin. Nature has wired human males to respond to these signals as they speak eloquently of fertility and youth. East Asian women appear to have drawn an especially strong hand in this genetic lottery, further refined by cultural practices. K-pop and J-pop function as powerful amplifiers of this natally ideal. These industries operate with the precision of biological engineering, running training regimes more rigorous than many military programs, such as Navy SEALs, all in service of maximizing feminine appeal. These industries don't just make music, they manufacture neo-tennis goddesses. Think the endless parade of J-pop idols with porcelain skin, massive sparkling eyes, and bodies that look like they subsist on air and determination. Billions of views, global tours selling out stadiums, TikTok flooded with tutorials on glass skin. Meanwhile, Japanese women maintain averages of approximately 111 pounds in their 20s and 117 pounds in their late 50s. While some Western women decry unrealistic standards, these cultural machines continue their work. The contrast is stark. The average American woman now approaches 170 pounds, comparable to the average man of the 1960s. But of course, not all East Asian women, fancy or jungle, follow this path. Because of course, there are many that have now settled in the US. With some having immersed themselves in Western academic and digital environments, they adopt similar strategies and more Western assertive presentations of themselves. They have marinated in TikTok feminism and everyday feminism articles, with many now pushing the idea that they're oppressed by something, something or other, but something. they dive headfirst into DEI, pronoun circles, and my trauma as a model minority narrative. They too become masculine, become corpulent, add a few octaves to their voices along with the ever-present aggressive attitudes and their bold declarations of I don't need no man but also pay for my OnlyFans. While you can also see the exact opposite, that being the Western female that adopts the fancy Asian standards of beauty in an attempt to purge themselves of the aggressive attitudes, thirst for massive body counts, and twerking energy that plague so many in the Anglo world. And do so as a snake would shed unwanted skin, or a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. They welcome transformation. They want to be feminine again. The advantage appears of the fancy Asian are rooted in several observable traits. Greater emphasis on delicate features, softer voices, massive lower average body weight, and a temperament that often prioritizes harmony over confrontation. Many, if not most men, appear to find this a welcome contrast to the gender tensions prevalent in most modern Anglo societies. It's not just looks, it's the vibe. Less confrontation, less the patriarchy did this. Men notice, biology notices. And it is the evolutionary biology of men noticing. That is what is behind all of this. Again, it comes down to very simple things. Being feminine, or put another way, not acting in the same masculine manner as Western women do. And of course, there are the niotinous features that make a difference. But of the utmost importance is the size of the fancy female East Asian. She lacks the incredible weight, size, girth, poundage, roundness and blubber called being thick in the West. That's right, thick. She does not have the rolls that are euphemistically referred to as curves. All of this goes a very long way in the global mating marketplace, as demonstrated in the examples given in this video. American women exclaim their pride at being sexy at any size. No amount of cake is too much, no weight is too massive, and demand that society accept their jiggly bellies as a sign of progress, female empowerment and emancipation. While in Japan and other fancy Asian nations, women are met with social demands from every direction to conform to a standard body image that comports with a healthy weight. Of course, preferences are personal, but pretending this, being the masculinization of Western women and their growing rotund nature, isn't happening is delusional. East Asian women are winning on neoteny, femininity, maintenance, temperament, and sheer visual appeal. They've got the whole package evolution hardwired men to be attracted to, and now have supercharged these attributes via modern pop culture. Meanwhile, a chunk of Western women doubled down on becoming the difficult option. Higher body counts, higher expectations, lower effort on the physical presentation, and a side of unrelenting rage against beauty standards. Beauty standards that men are actually attracted to. It's funny in a dark way. The same crowd that lectures everyone about decolonizing beauty standards suddenly gets real quiet when Asian women are coming to dominate global male attention without needing permission slips. The cope is Olympic level. It's just a fetish. It's colonizer mindset. No, not true. Now, while Western women still have plenty going for them, that classic look isn't going anywhere. No, the global stage just got a lot more competitive. The fancy Asian invasion isn't coming. It's here. And the meltdowns are the best part of the show. So next time you see another Which Way Western Man poll or a K-pop video with 500 million views, just laugh. Because the numbers don't lie, the memes don't lie, the science of neoteny doesn't lie, the Western women and their masculine jawlines don't lie, and the mirror definitely doesn't lie. Now, with all of that, I should be most interested to hear your reflections upon them. Do leave your thoughts in the comments below. If this quiet observation has stirred your curiosity, a simple thumbs up as you depart would be greatly appreciated. Also, remember to check out today's sponsor, Black Forest, and their amazing products. I have been taking them for more than a year and can readily say I feel the difference, and you will too. Again, if you have watched all the way to the end, thank you ever so much. Very few people these days have an attention span that will last more than a couple of minutes. So, congratulate yourself. So, until we meet again in the next chapter of Nature's Endless Story, take care and farewell.